Okay, I would like to call the special session of the City Council to University City to order at 2:01. Ms. Reese, could you please call the roll? Hopes to be here from another appointment. Here. We now move on to our discussion, Ms. Carr and Mr. Smotherson.
Okay, so at the last study session, we talked about using a temp and or at least exploring that possibility to see whether that would meet our needs. As we all know, the city clerk is out on temporary leave. I have a couple of questions about that, but what I did, what I was able to get was a position announcement. This is something similar to what would be placed, and I've given you all these. This is something similar to what would be placed to advertise for the position, and I think that I answered you that that the cost would be, we'd be more likely to get someone at about $30 an hour, although it depends upon their qualifications. So if they had lesser qualifications, certainly they would be paid less. But that determination would be made as the hiring was done. And that there's no finder's fee or anything like that. The contract would begin at the time that we decided to hire that person. That contract would be, grant the authority to the acting city manager to sign that contract, and then the city would do whatever they needed to do to get that person in. So the question that came up, and in fact these are questions from, let's see, I think I have a couple of other things to say about it. Number one, that they'll only be paid for the days and hours they work. So Shelley did ask some other questions, and some of the easier ones I'd like to answer first. Because I did have another conversation with Mr. Earl. Mike Earl is the one who is the senior vice president that I've been discussing this, the possibility of using their service. And I asked him about overtime, and he said certainly since these are hourly employees, if we have overtime, then it would be overtime. But I think that what we could, since we do have evening meetings, what we could try to do if we wanted to keep costs in control is to say that if that person worked a certain number of hours in the evening, that maybe they had those hours off later during the week. I mean, that again, you know, so we needn't do it unless we actually run into a crunch. And then the mayor also asked about the duration of the position. And I had a very long conversation with Mr. Earl. And he said that we would not be likely, as Shelley had said, we would not be likely to find someone if we weren't pretty firm about, you know, you're going to be working for 90 days. And he also said it's really not fair to the candidate to just say to them one day, yeah, when our city clerk comes back, well, I'm sorry, you'll have to go home now. So I asked him what would be a solution for this, and he said that he would state in the interview process that or even in the advertisement that the expected duration is 3 months, but if the candidate comes back sooner, then this is for us. We would give that candidate and the service 30-day notice. And I said, okay, does that mean that we pay you for the 30 days, or does the candidate work for 30 days? And he said, work. He said, it's his experience. I mean, because obviously they're looking for work, not just for payment. He said, it's his experience that there's always plenty of work to be done. And so, you know, quite frankly, it's the cost of using this kind of an approach. I mean, it's not like we had a choice, you know, or a wide range of people knocking on our door to say, gee, I want to do this temporary work. So I think I've answered those three questions. The more important question was the legal question, which is why I asked our city attorney to please come and help us with this. So for me, at least, this is about someone who could act in the capacity of the city clerk. That means who could be the custodian of records, who could in fact sign our ordinances, our resolutions, and our proclamations, because the business of the city, no matter what, cannot stop. That wasn't the intent of the federal government. The intent of the federal government was to protect that person, to kind of, as I read the brochure, to lift that onus of worry off of them, knowing that when they were ready and the doctor or whatever it was had said, you're ready to come back, that there would be a position waiting for them. It doesn't have to be the same position. It has to be an equivalent position. Is that correct? Okay. But I'm not even going down that path. I mean, I'm just trying to clarify all of that because I believe that we do have to have someone that acts as the city clerk. Is that correct?
That's correct. But with regard with the city clerk, per the code and the charter, the city clerk is an officer of the city with the primary function of authenticating by signature ordinances and resolutions as well as contracts. My concern is a temp would not technically be an officer of the city. They'd be a temporary employee paid hourly. With that, you could hire the temp to do more of the clerical prep for the meetings, respond to Sunshine, do filing, things like that.
Could I ask a question there? Why couldn't we pass a resolution or even an ordinance?
That's what I was getting
to.
So
okay.
Every department director within the city is declared an officer. Mm-hmm. And you can add to those officers' duties by passing an ordinance outlining additional duties for them, he or she, to take on. So mm-hmm. the council could pass an ordinance assigning a different department director to act in the capacity to authenticate and sign all ordinances, resolutions, and
I understand that, but how about if we pass a resolution or an ordinance naming this person temporarily? I mean, because we do have the right by charter to hire the city clerk, and that's an at-will kind of thing. It's not that we're firing anyone. This position is vital to our city.
Right, but we technically have a city clerk who is on leave. So to appoint another city clerk, we'd have two city clerks at the same time.
Is there any prohibition? One is in a sense an acting. One has, is essentially... and I don't know, and so I'm probably going to open this up, but the city clerk that we have cannot function at this time. I mean, she cannot do the job at this time. And so it's vacant. I mean, although I do have a question about that, which I'll ask in a few minutes, it's a vacant position right now. There's no one doing that, that is authorized to do that job. We have been lucky in that Ms. Reese has stepped in because our acting city manager has allowed her to. It would have been easier to find somebody within the already employed, but it seems like most of those people are otherwise occupied. So no matter what we do, that's certainly one solution that we could say, I'm assuming that we could also say the city manager could attest. Is that right?
Well, the city manager could, but the city manager also signs the contracts, so you'd have the city manager signing twice on a lot of documents, so that might become confusing as he's signing and also attesting to his own signature. So I don't know that that would work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to put more on Tina, but I would think Tina might be maybe the best department director to take on the responsibility of authenticating the ordinances and resolutions.
Okay. All right, but we could pass something that would then grant that authority so that we're not there. But with regard to the custodian of the records and everything else, how would that be handled? Would that be handled by the temp? Because we do have an ordinance that talks about the city clerk being the custodian of the record.
Right. They keep a journal of the ordinances. I don't necessarily know about the custodian of the records. The code and charter specifically require him or her to authenticate and keep a journal of the ordinances and resolutions. With regards to the keeping of the city's records, I believe they could handle that responsibility.
Okay, because I think it's section 150.020 that we previously talked about, the Sunshine Law, you know, where the city clerk is designated. So,
so you could change that designation to the temp, but it would have to be by resolution, and then it would have to be temporary.
I mean, that's not a problem.
Right.
You know, we can set sunset.
Right.
We can sunset things. Okay. Does anybody else have any questions?
I guess, first on the sunshine, right now, Ms. Reese is handling those. Is that illegal for her to respond to sunshine requests?
I mean, she's not designated, but the city has to respond in 3 days, so someone has to respond.
Right, right.
So in this situation, it's better someone than no one. Either of them, technically.
Okay, so we need that in any case. Can we do the resolution so it's more general that someone acting on the staff of the University of Sydney can respond, or do we have to put it to a person?
It would be better if it's designated to an individual.
Okay. And the resolution, doing Tina or someone, would just say that during this interim, the director of finance or whoever shall be
probably. And it, under Department of Finance Director's position, it says she can perform other duties as may be imposed by this code or by any other ordinance. It may be able to be passed as an emergency ordinance, but I'm not certain. If it's an ordinance, yeah, it'll need 3 readings.
And we all have to be there. If we're going to do that, we all have to be there.
It can't be a resolution. It must be an ordinance.
It says for other duties, it's by ordinance. No.
Yeah, and that's what I want to bring up, because there's a problem that is something that's already happened. And she said that she's beginning her leave on January 6th, and yet there's a proclamation here dated on the 7th with her signature. And so what I want to say to all of us is that we cannot impose upon Ms. Palm. She has a right to her leave. So for whatever that was, it was a proclamation signed by Shelley, and on the date is the 7th. And I just found it on Facebook, I mean, just in the normal course of reading, and I went,
he actually got that for the 7th, but it was signed before she sent us.
But for what, then the date should have been corrected, whatever that was. But for all practical purposes, we may not impose upon Ms. Pump. She's the one to tell us when she is coming back, not us.
I had asked Ms. Carden Chen to make, because of the issue we ran into with acting city manager, we can call this person an acting city clerk. There's no legal thing.
So right, because they're acting. Right. It's not interim. She's still, Joyce is still employed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or you could call them maybe a temporary, might be a better.
Well, I think that's confusing to people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she is acting. She's not interim. And you know, for whatever it is, I mean,
she's coming, she's gone, she's coming back. This person would be acting in her absence.
That's, I mean, it's just kind of that. I mean, if you're in the description, you know, they're certainly saying that this is, you know, a temporary position. There's no implication that it isn't.
No, I had no qualms with that. It's just that when we were discussing Mr. Adams, it was brought up, I don't know, by you or Mr. Mulligan, that according to the whatever, we had to
designate acting or interim.
Yeah, and I think we just simply pass those ordinances. I mean, it's not open heart surgery, folks. It's something we should have been doing all along, and just we're not doing, including for that last special election. So, okay. So then, I'd like to hear what people think about it. I know it's relatively expensive, but I don't know another way to approach this. And
charter says we can hire a city clerk, and Ms. Pum has gone out on leave, and so she's basically said, I can't perform these duties, and so she's not, although her employment status stays, that she is an employee of the city and she receives certain benefits and whatever the law is going to give her, but she really isn't the city clerk, because we can hire a city clerk. Why can't we just hire a city clerk to do those positions? It doesn't, the charter doesn't say that just because someone was hired and now they can't do their job, we can't, the council still can't hire someone. I don't read it that way. I mean, while she gets the benefits of the laws that we have to follow, and she would get restored to her position, I don't think she would be in a position, or anybody would be in a position, when she's saying, I can't do them, that somehow...
If you hire a city clerk, she's still the city clerk, and then you have two city clerks, and acting in a city clerk. So you're technically having two city clerks at the same time. While she can't do her functions while she's out, those functions can be assigned to another individual. I don't think they should get the flat title of city clerk, because they're also temp, and when she comes back, then again, you still have two city clerks. You could have overlapping city clerks. I understand what you're saying, but I think in the...
Do we have a case, a statute?
No, I didn't. I was going off the language of the code and the charter. But typically when an employee leaves, it's my understanding their responsibilities are reassigned. They're not taken away from them, and a new person comes in and gets their title.
Interim, you want to hire another officer to replace her?
Let's not replace her.
Or you want to hire another officer of the city to take over her?
So your interpretation of the council shall elect an officer is just they can pick anyone now as an officer to work, and then when Joyce comes back, that person's removed and Joyce...
They serve at the pleasure of the council.
Right. But...
if they don't, if they come into the position knowing that it's temporary...
As an hourly employee who might not work every day, be considered an officer of the city? Well, a department director is an officer, and they're here every day and they're salaried. Well, you
different format from the employment standpoint. You're not an employed individual of the city. As well, Joyce is employed by the council, but as a regular department director. I mean, my recommendation is to do the resolution, the ordinance. If council's vote is to just hire a new officer to fill the city clerk's position, and fill in the positions.
Because otherwise, if there's a hole in the way we're set up, mm-hmm. and kind of would find if they want to be fine, and can't get things done. So that's kind of my idea.
Mr. Smotherson, were you going to say something?
Well, I just simply wanted to say that, Katie, I understand what you're saying. I think that your analogy doesn't apply in this regard in reference to what other employers would do, in that they would take that person's responsibility and they would spread it around. I mean, I'm very familiar with that because I've done it myself, but I work with a group of people that are all customer service. And so they take their job. I mean, so anybody can do what I do, and they just take over those responsibilities. This is different to me in a certain way. This is a specific position with a specific role. And I don't think it's something where we can just spread it around to others and give them the responsibility. We need to hire a specific person for that role. That's just how I see it.
I understand that. My other concern, though, if you're bringing someone in for maybe 30 days, it's going to take some time to catch up on. I mean, they're going to have to understand, you know, what are they signing? They have, you know, the ordinance is resolutions.
Is it 90 days?
Oh, I don't know. I have 90 days.
We are going to. It is going to be 90 days.
I mean, these are the resolutions and the ordinances of the city that, you know, it's usually you want someone who is a little bit more authority and connection to the city to be signing off on them.
Just to let everyone know, and I think I wrote this in the email, I've already provided the job description to Mr. Earle. So he has a very good sense of what the duties would be. Short of actually working through them himself. So he's not looking in the dark. He's looking for someone that, you know, that has either done this before, is very familiar with that. That really has nothing to do with your point, but I just want to make sure that everybody knows that, you know, that he's up to speed on that.
Okay. The other question I have, Ms. Carr, is it says benefits include up to 3% employer matched IRA. Is that from GovTemps? Not from us. Okay, that's from government.
You know, I'm not sure, but I read that as that's ours. So the anticipated benefits include, it says employer matched IRA. They are an employee of GovTemps, not an employee of us. So if you would like me to clarify, I can step out and make a phone call and see if I can get him.
I think that would be, if you could, I think that'd be beneficial, just make so it's coming from them.
I think it's typical they pass that on to us.
Oh, okay, well, let's assume that they do pass it on to us. And then if it's otherwise, I mean, I have a tendency. I mean, I'll try. I tried to call him earlier.
Thanks. I guess my concern is then we're talking 15% above what we're paying Ms. Pum.
You know,
if we come in at the height, which you said we might not, the way
you
phrased it.
With all due respect, this is something that's put in our lap and that we don't have a good solution for. And this may be the best solution. It's not like there's anybody standing outside our doors knocking them down to do this job. So.
No, and I
acknowledge
that.
Because you already
that.
Asked through the City Clerk Association. Right?
We did. We haven't publicized it any otherwise. I'm just concerned, especially if they're going to ask us, if they're saying 30, if Ms. Pump comes back in a week after we get this person, which I think the person would be good because they're already vetted and all of that, then we're being asked to pay another full month of salary plus the 3%. I think
that's a cost of doing business, and you have to decide whether that's worth going this route, or, I mean, if you have another, I mean, that's why I wanted to talk. If you have another way to do this, that's great, but I don't want to get into 30 days or 45 days and we're still scrambling around. We need to do this in about 14 days because we've already had a couple of weeks.
And I guess my, and I don't know, I've done temp employees before, but is there a negative in going forward with GovTemps, but also publicizing on our website and in East West Gateway and all of that at the same time, just in case somebody's coming directly to us? I don't know what the protocol is in this field.
I would think that, you know, you either contract with them or you go some other way. I mean, that's what this is about. So I don't think you do those two things simultaneously because you're creating doubt as to who made the real references. And when I presented this, I didn't necessarily propose it. I just said, since you made a good point about hiring someone whose position wasn't really on there, that this might be another way to go. Either we decide to go this way or not, but I'll tell you what, I'll be hopping mad if we're 30 days into this and still haven't found someone, because it's our responsibility to do it, and I think that's why Steve's right. You know, we need to plan for the next times that these things happen, so we have a much faster turnaround, because we're sitting here not knowing exactly what to do. And honestly, Chief Adams and Ms. Reese have been exceedingly generous, and I thank you both for helping us out.
Mr. Crow, and then Tina, did you want to say something too? Mr. Crow?
I'm good. Tina wants to add it.
I just want to say that the rate is reasonable. Even though they ask 40%, you know, you're not going to get the qualified person less than average of $40 per hour with a short period of time. Yeah. And when I need accountant, I go to accountant. And then they were able to place me with qualified person. So I would hope that these agency work directly with people who had experience as city clerk. They would supply us with qualified person. So, and we hope that, you know, $40 or $42 per hour would be short, yeah, mm-hmm. short period of time, yeah.
Mr. Crow, thank you, Ms. Tina.
Well, first off, I'd have to say to Ms. Reese, thank you for stepping up and helping out. And Tina, I'm sure you're helping out too. So I know that we've asked extra of you. I think it's clear through a variety of factors that there's at least some concern out there that this position has either a backlog or has some work that needs to get caught up. So I think that we're sort of splitting hairs where we don't need to. If we need to get someone on, let's just get this person on. And frankly, though we've had a good conversation about different ways to do this, I think we follow Katie's idea of the resolution and the ordinance. We put it on for Monday night with an emergency, and we get it through because, you know, really we cannot keep going the way we're operating right now. And so the sooner we get this done, the better. So, and the IRA pass along, my guess is that's probably even negotiable, just so you know. With temporary employees, it's likely that it's negotiable, so I don't think that should be a deal breaker either way.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, so do we have a Ms. Carr?
I will move to proceed with GovTemps USA in that they will begin the process to find someone for us, and that once they do, once we select, then a contract would be submitted, and then we would proceed with having our acting city manager sign that, and then we would have our finance director proceed as she normally does.
Okay, we have a motion to proceed with GovTemps. Do we have a second? That was from Ms. Carr. Mr. Smotherson seconds. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, Ms. Reese, would you please poll the council?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. We now have one citizen comment, Mr. Jeff Hales.
Jeff Hales, 7471 Kingsbury. I hadn't planned on talking about the subject you just talked about, but I did have one question listening to the course of your conversation, and that is, I guess from where I was seated, I'm still not clear as to if you're still working out whether a department head would take the role as being the signer and attesting to the various ordinances and whatnot. And then the other question I have is, the city clerk is an employee of the council. Is this who will this person be reporting to? And so I thought Mr. McMahon had some very interesting questions. A couple of things. I want to truncate what some of my thoughts. I don't know that I'm going to be able to be here Monday, which is why I came here today. I did want to comment on the legal opinions that you voted to, or the emails containing legal opinions that you voted to release. I found those very concerning, and I can't help but sitting here today to think if we had a city attorney sitting in this room on July 11th when the question was asked and we were talking about the term of the special election, that we wouldn't be in this mess. I do think, though, that I think a number of questions need to be asked. I think one of those most important questions is why were two conflicting or apparently conflicting legal opinions given. The July 8th email that was sent with the second opinion, why was that sent and what precipitated it? If that was a response to a question, which it sort of appears as it was, as opposed to being unsolicited, what was the question that was being asked? And why does that opinion seem to contradict an opinion that was provided 39 days earlier? The other question I think has to be asked, which I don't know when and if you can ask, is why on July 11th, when apparently both of your employees had legal opinions, did neither of them speak up when the question was asked for a legal opinion? We know that, and you know that, Ms. Pum was in receipt of an opinion on the 31st of May, and Mr. Walker received an opinion on the 8th of July. I also want to say, as a practice, I think this council has kind of gotten in trouble because I think all of these legal opinions as they come forward, and really all legal matters regarding the city that come before the court and the appellate court and whatnot, the council really, I think, needs to be apprised of legal opinions when they're issued, whether they're issued to the clerk or whether they're issued to the city manager. You are their employers, and I think that should be something that should be a matter of policy of the council and the city. I also would like to thank both Ms. Reese and Mr. Adams. I have gotten almost everything I've requested, and I really appreciate the effort that's been taken to provide me that information that I've been waiting on since December. I also wanted to just send a message to Mr. Adams that I was very impressed with Public Works in preparation for the storm that turned out to be a bit of a dud. The proactive sort of treatment of the streets this time was really unlike just about anything I've ever seen. They did a great job. I'm glad the storm mostly missed us, but they did a really good job this time. So that's everything. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I would now entertain a motion to go into closed session according to Missouri Revised Statute 610.021 legal. Actions, causes of action or litigation involving a public governmental body and any confidential or privileged communications between a public governmental body or its representatives as its attorneys, and three, personnel hiring, firing, disciplining, or promoting of particular employees by a public governmental body when personal information about the employee is discussed or recorded. Is there a motion? Ms. Carr moves. Is there a second? Mr. McMahon seconds. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, Ms. Reese, would you please pull the council? Aye. Thank you very much. So Shall we meet up here since we're all here, or go downstairs? We can ask our guests to leave and put everyone around the table. I'm sorry? Yes, that's fine.